been praying for you. You're asking God to save you for his goodness sake, for his great mercy sake. We love you all. In the Lord's will, we'll see you guys next week, same place, same time. And invite a friend to come along and listen. Tune in. It just may be their time to get in where they fit in. No gospel, no peace. We love you guys. See you next week now. Bye, y'all.
K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria, 88.1.
Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
Power of intercessory prayer. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. 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 There is power in intercessory prayer. Now, in a nutshell, intercessory prayer is the prayer that you pray for others. It's when you intercede for somebody in prayer. Amen. Just to give you an example, you intercede, or you should be praying for your pastor every day. Amen. Your pastor ought to be praying for you every day. We are interceding for one another. Praise God. And I know, I don't need to tell you that we live in a time today where prayer is needed. Is there anybody in here right now, show me by the show of hands, that say that there is no need for prayer in this world that we live in today? Amen. I'm glad I didn't see a hand. I didn't even see one of the little kids raise their hand. Praise God. We need prayer today. Praise God. Just let me just quickly. I don't know if you all realize how close we were on the brink of war just the other day. Amen. I mean, just the other day. And man, this world needs some prayer. Praise God. And we certainly need some prayer here in these United States of America, especially when we have a leader. Amen. Y'all don't have to agree with me if you don't want to, especially when we have a leader who sits in the highest office in this nation. Praise God. Only finds out 5 minutes before he gets ready to detonate whatever it was he was going to detonate, that there was going to be some catastrophic killing of some innocent folk, and decided not to do what he was going to do. Let me tell you something, my brothers and my sisters, we need some prayer. Every one of us need to be interceding for that president. Amen. We need to be interceding for those who are sitting in Congress, even those who are silent, sitting by, allowing all these things to happen. We ought to be interceding on their behalf. Praise God. You know, America definitely needs prayer. I mentioned on last week. Yes, it was last week. Praise God. When you have a mother of a child, along with another person, would take a young child, 6 months old, and burn it up, praise God, in an automobile. Let me tell you something, man, we need some prayer. There ought to be some prayer. And so we find here in this verse, these verses of scripture, Paul is writing this letter to the church at Colossae. Now, we learned this morning, praise God, in our Sunday school. And he writes this letter to this city, Colossae. Colossae, which was a textile, praise God, one of the textile industries of the world, was housed right there, located in the Lycus Valley, praise God. near what they call Western Asia Minor, or what we call modern day Turkey. Praise God. And Colossus was near the city of Laodicea and Hierapolis. And Paul had churches in all of those places. Praise God. There were churches that were established by Paul in all those places. But can I hip you to something? Paul never set foot nor face, praise God, in Colossae or Laodicea or Hierapolis. Praise God. Because Paul writes this letter while he is locked up in a Roman jail. Praise God. But guess what? That church was planted by some folk, amen, who sat under Paul's tutelage while he was had an extended stay,
yeah,
as they would say,
yeah,
in Ephesus.
Yeah.
Praise God. And there were folk that went out. Now, if you want to know who started that church, those who go to my Bible study, I can ask them that. They'll jump up and tell me right quick. Guy by the name of Epaphras was the one that started that church there in Colossae. Amen. So we find that that gospel was planted, amen, by one of Paul's servants. But Paul never set foot in that church. Praise God. You know something? It's good to have such a reputation. Amen. That folk would take what you have said, what folks say about you, and start a movement and keep it going. Praise God. As long as it is in the Lord, praise God, we see that that's happened. But you know, Paul write this letter, as we found out this morning, praise God, because of some heretics, some all type of heretical saying.
Yeah.
There were three different beliefs. Now, I won't get into it, because we'll be here all night if I tell you that, if I try to get into all of them. But there were some philosophical ideas. There were some religious ideas that were wrong. There were some Jewish ideas that were wrong, but they were, most of them were wrapped up into this word called Gnostics.
Yeah.
That word Gnostic in the original Greek only means, that word just means to know. Amen.
Yeah.
And what those people were trying to say, that what they were basically saying, that if you know, you can be your own little God if you just know something. Praise
yeah.
God. But we found out right now, and I think I can stand here boldly today to say that I don't care how much I learn or how much I find out, I don't know more as much as God.
Yeah.
Another one of the things that the Gnostics, they believe that there was no way in the world that Jesus could have been divine. He could not have been a deity, because they believe that no human flesh was good. Amen. So if you want to say that Christ was in fact God manifested in the flesh,
yeah,
they were saying that you're wrong, because God is nowhere in the world.
Right.
God is going to put himself into something that was going to decay.
Yeah.
So Paul writes this letter,
yeah,
to this church, letting this church know that I've heard about what you're doing. I know what you're doing. I've heard that you love the Lord and that you have given your life to the Lord, praise God. And so Paul is now interceding, and he's praying for that church, praise God, so that that church can not only prosper, but that church can continue to grow, and also to stamp out these sayings that were wrong in the church, because they were going to lead people to denouncing their faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can I say something that I said in Sunday school this morning, that you can, I see right now I'm going to preach this sermon a little bit different. Something that I said this morning that you can say to your neighbor. In fact, if I say this, y'all can go, we can go home. If I say this, y'all ready to go on, get out of here, we can do the benediction.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor.
Hey, neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
You are
complete in Christ.
Right.
All right? Now, that means that you're complete in Christ, so you don't need nothing else.
Right.
that somebody else come by and say, you need a little bit of this, you need a little bit of that, or you need a little that, that. Praise God, you are already complete in Christ. And if you are in Christ, praise God, you are exactly where you need to be. Amen. I don't care if some of these other religious organizations come around talking something that sounds new. Don't you know that there's nothing new under the sun? Praise God, because God is the same yesterday, he's the same today, and guess what? He's going to be the same tomorrow. Praise God. So don't let nobody come and tell you something about some fly-by-night organization that you're going to jump up and go put you a pair of tennis shoes on and a black jumpsuit. Praise God. Somebody going to tell you, let's go down here, and it's time for us to take a big swallow of some Kool-Aid or something or whatever it is laced with arsenic so that we can get out of here. Praise God. That's not what God has intended for us. Praise God. But God, he prayed. Paul prayed and want us to pray. Praise God. And he prayed for some particular things. And I want us to look at them because I was able to extrapolate. In other words, pull out three things from this text that Paul prayed while he was doing this intercessory prayer. Praise God for those things. Very first thing that he said that they might be knowing intelligent Christians. That's the very first thing. That they might be knowing intelligent Christians. Praise God. What do I mean by that? Look at what verse 9 said. Verse 9 said that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You see, in other words, praise God, with all of the heresy that was going on, Paul wanted the Christians at Colossae to be filled with the knowledge of God's will, not some of this other stuff. Praise God. They had some understanding of God's will, but Paul longed that they would have that understanding to its complete. In other words, to its fullest. For all too often, let me tell you, we think of the will of God as plans traced out for our own individual lives. Hey, praise God. That might be somebody here right now who think of God's will in terms of their career choice, of their marriage, of their job, their money, and so forth. But God wanted each of us, and he wants each of us to live a prosperous life. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, God wants you to live a prosperous life. Praise God. If he didn't want you to live a prosperous life, he would have never allowed the Holy Spirit, praise God, to speak into John's ear at 3 John verse 2 and said, beloved, I wished above all things that thou what? Mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul, what? Prospereth. Praise God. He wanted you to prosper. Praise God. He wants us. And see, the will of God, praise God, in its broadest sense, is his plan to redeem people. And praise God. And in his narrowest sense, it has to do with the way it fits, into his redemptive plan as individuals. See, God's will can be divided into three what I call major categories. Baby, the first one is this. Praise God. God has his ultimate and perfect will. Say ultimate and perfect will. Praise God. He has his ultimate and his perfect will. You see, some of God's will is irresistible. They're unconditional. They're inevitable. Meaning, praise God, that his plan will unfold or will occur regardless of what our response might be. Praise God. He has his ultimate and his perfect will. Praise God. For God is sovereign over the entire universe, and his goals will prevail. Praise God. Take his redemption plan Those who do his will voluntarily will what? They will live eternally.